The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Hello, I am Shadate Hargett Hill, and this is Connect to Success. For the next half hour, I will be reading articles from aphconnectcenter.org, nei.nih.gov, as well as the National Eye Institute. We'll be sharing stories that will help you connect to your own success. February is, as we call it, Low Vision Awareness Month. It is also Age-Related Macular Degeneration Month. Prevent Blindness, the nation's oldest voluntary eye health organization, has declared February as Age-Related Macular Degeneration and Low Vision Awareness Month. According to the American Academy of Ophthalmology, AMD is a leading cause of vision loss in people 50 years or older, and more than 2.9 million Americans aged 40 and older have low vision. Low vision is defined as a visual impairment that is not correctable through surgery, medicine, eyeglasses, or contact lenses. AMD affects central vision, where sharpest vision occurs, causing difficulty conducting daily tasks such as driving or reading. The most common form of AMD is dry AMD, caused by the appearance of small yellow deposits called drusen, which form under the retina. Dry AMD usually progresses slowly. Wet AMD generally causes more rapid and more serious vision loss. In this form of the disease, tiny new blood vessels grow under and into the retina. These blood vessels are fragile and often break and leak, causing a loss of vision. Geographic atrophy, or GA, is the advanced form of dry AMD. GA results in areas of damaged tissues causing central blind spots. Prevent Blindness has created new dedicated resources on GA, including a dedicated website, fact sheet, and a series of shareable social media graphics. You can find information on preventblindness.org. In addition to the comprehensive AMD Learning Center at preventblindness.org, Prevent Blindness also offers the free Guide Me app designed for those who have been diagnosed with AMD. GuideMe works by asking a few questions about the user and the user's AMD diagnosis. It then uses the answers to create a customized guide with helpful information, tips, resources, and suggested steps to take to be proactive about protecting vision. The guide is compatible with a smartphone, tablet, laptop, or PC. For low vision, Prevent Blindness offers the no-cost Living Well with Low Vision online resource at lowvision.preventblindness.org. lowvision.preventblindness.org. Tools include a self-help guide to non-visual skills, a visual skills workbook for people with AMD, and a guide to caring for the visually impaired. A free directory of more than 1,500 paratransit services in cities across the country is also available for patients and caregivers in need. Vision loss from AMD can be significantly slowed if the eye disease is diagnosed and treated early. The goal is to raise awareness and provide useful resources to the public and AMD symptoms, risk factors, and treatment options. This is all information that Prevent Blindness wants to help people with. They want them to know that those who have low vision, that they are committed to delivering the most useful and effective content to help patients and caregivers navigate the many, many challenges that vision loss presents. Again, for more information on AMD, low vision, and other eye diseases, please contact Prevent Blindness at www.preventblindness.org. For a directory of financial assistance programs, you can visit preventblindness.org/vision-care-financial-assistance-information. Let's give you more information about Prevent Blindness. Founded in 1908, Prevent Blindness is the nation's leading volunteer eye health and safety organization dedicated to fighting blindness and saving sight. Focused on promoting a continuum of vision care, Prevent Blindness touches the lives of millions of people each year through public and professional education, advocacy, certified vision, screening and training, community and patient service programs and research. These services are made possible through the generous support of the American public. Together with a network of affiliates, Prevent Blindness is committed to eliminating preventable blindness in America. For more information, also visit them again at preventblindness.org, or you can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Great videos, great audios for everyone who is blind, low vision, or just love to know more information about blindness and people who have low vision. More information from the Eye Institute. Living with blindness or low vision, getting resources for building media partnerships. If you are new to blindness or low vision, take the journey one day and one step at a time. Utilize tips that we're giving for adjusting to vision changes, living independently, caring for yourself, navigating relationships, getting around your environment, redesigning your home, and fall prevention, making home and vehicle repairs, maintaining employment, and choosing where to live. One thing is adjusting to blindness, low vision. Learn about services for maintaining your independence, using your remaining senses, tips for combined hearing and vision changes, and helping others understand your vision changes. You can learn to use your remaining senses, stack blocks with text, touch, sight, hearing, smell, taste. All of those things are things you can rely on. Losing your vision doesn't have to mean losing your confidence. Throughout your life, your vision has likely been your primary sense. Some researchers estimate that the sense of sight provides approximately 80% of all the information we receive about the world. You've probably been using your vision unconsciously for the most part of your life to double-check the accuracy of your other senses. For example, when you hear a siren from a fire engine, you tend to confirm that it is indeed a fire engine by turning to look at it. Because of this tendency, you may feel less confident about your other senses when you can't depend on vision in the way you used to. In time and with training, you can learn to use all your senses, touch, hearing, smell, and any remaining vision, and improve your visual cues, as well as your visual memory. Gradually, with practice in sensory exercises and successful new experiences, you will begin to trust your other senses and rebuild your confidence. Using your visual memory. Visualization, or using your visual memory, is a process that can help you consciously form accurate mental pictures of people, places, and everyday objects. You can learn to do this by using and recalling the vast storehouse of visual memories and information accumulated throughout your lifetime. For example, you can likely create an accurate mental picture of every room in your home, as well as the individual items, furniture, appliances, and decorative objects within each of these rooms. By continuously creating these types and creating detailed mental pictures, you'll be able to more accurately recall the location of doors, windows, significant pieces of furniture, and potential hazards and obstacles in your way. Using your remaining vision, try to use whatever remaining vision you have to the maximum extent possible. Despite what you may have read, using your remaining vision will not harm your eyes or cause your vision to decrease. Also, remember to check the lighting in your home. Different types of lighting in certain areas may help you move about more safely and efficiently. Remember that it's possible to support your reduced vision with information gained by learning to trust and rely on your other senses. Maximize your sense of hearing. Hearing often decreases with age, although the type and amount of hearing loss can differ from one person to the next. If you are having difficulty hearing, consider being tested by an audiologist. Regardless of your remaining hearing, continue to use it to the maximum. If you concentrate on what you're hearing and where sounds are coming from, you will be able to gain more information about your surroundings and begin to feel safer and more comfortable. For example, try this sensory development exercise to help you locate an open doorway in your home. Walk slowly down any hallway in your home. As you walk, you will sense a closed-in feeling until you reach an open doorway. At that point, you will probably experience a sense of openness on your left or right side, depending on which side has the open doorway. It will take time and practice before you can sense these changes. Be patient with yourself, but also celebrate the fact that you're learning new skills and increasing your sensory awareness. If you're comfortable walking alone, ask a family member or friend to practice with you or use techniques that protect your upper and lower body as you walk inside your home. Maximize your sense of smell and taste. Smell and taste can be affected by various medications. Nevertheless, you should continue to use the senses of smell and taste as best you can. Be aware that if a family member or friend tells you something smells pungent, but you believe it smells fragrant, you can both be correct. Being consistent in what you can identify is the most important factor. Environmental and sensory clues in your home. In your home, you are surrounded by many sensory clues that can be helpful. You can understand your environment. For example, your sense of hearing can provide much information about your home, both inside and out. Sounds such as a television or radio, a dripping faucet, a ticking clock, and motors turning on and off can help you form a picture of the interior of your home. Any sounds from the outside, such as birds, traffic, or children playing, will also help you build a mental image of your surroundings. Other sensory clues can include textures underfoot, such as tile, wood, rugs, or linoleum, can help you to create a visual mental image of your surroundings. Air currents in the house, air conditioners, fans, or forced air heat can also help you determine where you are and help you to remain oriented. Rooms that are different sizes will sound different from one another. A bathroom, for example, is usually small and contains hard surfaces, such as tiles and porcelain, that can cause sounds to bounce and echo. A living room is larger, with rugs and soft furniture that can absorb and muffle sounds. Aromas can provide useful room clues, such as the scent of flowers in the living room, baking aromas in the kitchen, and detergent odors in the laundry room. As you approach your front door, mainly if it's located in a foyer, you may experience a closed-in feeling or sensation. This occurs because sounds are reflected from three very close walls. In a living room, from a seated position, try to locate and point to the doorway, a window in the room, major features in the room, such as the fireplace, sink, refrigerator, sofa, or a bathtub. Number 5, with someone accompanying you, continue to move slowly through your house and ask yourself, what textures am I feeling under my feet? For example, the carpet in the living room will feel very different from the ceramic tiles in the bathroom and the linoleum in the kitchen. What smells am I aware of that can indicate I'm in a specific area of my home? Can I see a change in lighting or light levels as I move away from or toward a window? Stimulate your visual memory and maximize your senses. The information you gather from these exercises can stimulate your visual memory and help you build a clear mental picture of every room in your home. They will also give you useful clues to move around your home more confidently and locate different areas and items. These and other sensory exercises can help you maximize the use of all your senses. These sensory exercises will increase your sensory awareness and gradually build your confidence and ability to continue doing many day-to-day activities. Repeat these exercises until they become natural and automated ways to understand your environment better. Gradually, you will feel much more in control, comfortable, secure, and confident. Now, if you don't know that you're having low vision problems or it may be an issue, of course you need to go and see a doctor. But at a glance, low vision signs, blurry vision, not seeing well enough to do everyday tasks like reading and driving. Diagnosis, a dilated eye exam. Some treatments, vision aids, and vision rehabilitation. Good news is that vision rehabilitation services can help people with a visual impairment make the most of the vision they have and keep doing the things they love. Take some time for this to be able to know more about it. And again, you may have low vision if you can't see well enough for those things that we talked about, reading, driving. Also, recognizing people's faces, telling colors apart, seeing your television or computer screen clearly. And what are some types of low vision? The type of low vision that you have depends on the disease or condition that caused your low vision. The most common types of low vision are central vision loss, not being able to see things in the center of your vision. Peripheral vision loss, not being able to see things out of the corners of your eyes. Night blind vision, not being able to see in low light. Blurry or hazy vision. What causes low vision? Many different eye conditions can cause low vision, but the most common causes are age-related macular degeneration, AMD, cataracts, diabetic retinopathy, diabetic retinopathy, a condition that can cause vision loss in people with diabetes. Glaucoma. Low vision is more common in older adults because many of the diseases that can cause it are more common in older adults. Aging doesn't cause low vision on its own. Eye and brain injuries and certain genetic disorders can also cause low vision. How will eye doctors check for low vision? Well, the doctor can check for low vision as part of your exam. And like we discussed before, a dilated eye exam. The exam is simple and painless. Your doctor will ask you to read letters that are up close and far away and will check whether you can see things in the center and at the edges of your vision. Then they will give you some eye drops to dilate or widen your pupil and check for the other problems, including conditions that could cause low vision. What to expect from a dilated eye exam, what the treatments for lower vision are. Unfortunately, low vision is usually permanent. Eyeglasses, medicine, and surgery can't usually cure low vision, but sometimes they can improve vision, help you do everyday activities more easily, or keep your vision from getting worse. Treatment options will depend on the specific eye condition that causes your low vision. Ask your doctor if there are any treatments that could improve your vision or help protect your remaining vision. Things that most, can I make the most of my remaining sight? If you have low vision, you can find ways to make the most of your vision and keep doing the things you love to do. If your vision loss is minor, you may be able to make small changes to help yourself see better. You can do things like use brighter lights at your home or work, wear anti-glare sunglasses. Other things that you can do, you can use a magnifying lens for reading and other up-close activities. If your vision loss is getting in the way of everyday activities, ask your eye doctor about vision rehabilitation. A specialist can help you learn how to live with your vision loss. This can include things like training or how to use a magnifying device for reading, guidance for setting up your home so you can move around easily, sharing resources to help you cope with your vision loss. For patients with visual impairment, it can be hard to do everyday activities like driving or reading. And of course, like we said, millions of people in the United States are living with visual impairment and their condition can't be treated, but these are great things to help you with your vision and having an improved quality of life. Vision rehabilitation that you can get more information about includes a range of services and many levels of support. They can help people with visual impairment maintain their independence, improve their quality of life. It may involve a team of providers, including eye care professionals, low vision and vision rehabilitation therapists, orientation and mobility specialists, counselors, and social workers. Getting diagnosed with an eye disease or condition that causes a visual impairment can be overwhelming, and people may not know where to start when it comes to assessing vision rehabilitation services. That's why it's important to share information about vision rehabilitation services and how to access them. Healthcare providers play an important role in helping people with visual impairment get vision rehabilitation services. You can follow three steps to link your patients to the vision rehabilitation services that are right for them. You can identify a network of vision rehabilitation. Government and private organizations publish lists of vision rehabilitation services and organizations by categories and states. Other places you can go to: Vision Aware's directory of services, visionaware.com is an external link, or you can go to nei.nih.gov and they will have information for you. Rehabilitation Service Administrations through states, vocational rehabilitation agencies and their directories, and the American Optometric Association's Eye Doctor Directory. Again, you can find all that information and so much more at nei.nih.gov. That's nei.nih.gov. NCRS, the national, NCRS, not national, the North Carolina Reading Service, loves to share stories of people succeeding with vision loss at every stage and in every age of life. It reminds us all that there is no limit to what is possible. Each story has the power to inspire so many more to find the potential in preservation. We have a couple stories that we want to tell you about of people who are connecting to their own success. D.C. Circuit Judge David Tactel. Judge David Tactel has served on the United States Court of Appeals since 1994. Along every step of that way, he dealt with progressive vision loss from retinitis pigmentosa and found the resources he needed to succeed. Listen to Life, Law, and Vision Loss. That is where you can find more on Hadley.com. Gia Pergolini, an athlete, legally blind from Stargardt disease, would not deter this world-class athlete. She set her sights on gold and took it in the 100-meter backstroke at the Tokyo Paralympics. At 17, she inspired people who were blind, visually impaired, and people who had nothing wrong with them, inspired them to do and be their best. Ben Benson, a restaurateur, legally blind from the age of 18, he built a storied career in New York City legendary restaurant business, beginning with the creation of the first Friday's location, which would become an internationally recognized chain. Frank Bruni, journalist, author, and professor. He entered the realm of vision loss without warning in 2017 as he woke to a forever changed view caused by a stroke of the eye. Now a Duke University professor, he continues to communicate with readers through the New York Times and is about to publish his 10th book, The Beauty, or it probably is already out, The Beauty of Dusk on Vision Loss and Found. Let's learn more about Monet, Da Vinci, Degas, O'Keeffe, Rembrandt, artists. Thanks to Perkins Learning for this enlightening article on array of visual impairments that affected the most renowned artists in history. Vision loss did not hinder any. Many cases, it actually enhanced their work. For information on more influence classics, you can always go to YouTube and look up 10 Ways Vision Impairment Influenced Classic Artists. And of course, February is not only low vision awareness and AMD awareness, it is also Black History Month. So I'm going to give you a little bit of information about those who are blind, visually impaired, who have made great thrives in our history. Let's start with Harriet Tubman, approximately born 1820 or March 1913. And born 1820 and died March 10th, 1913. Harriet Tubman was a slave throughout her youth, being treated as an animal until she eventually escaped. She was an abolitionist, humanitarian, and Union spy during the American Civil War. When she had reached Canada, she did not stay to enjoy freedom. She returned to the lands and brought hundreds of black slaves back to safety, saving them from slavery by escaping in what was then called the Underground Railroad. After a severe wound to the head, which was inflicted by a slave owner before her escape, she became a victim to vision impairment and seizures that did not keep her from tossing her fears aside and to keep her fighting for freedom of her people. Ray Charles, born September 23rd, 1930, died June 10th, 2004. Known by his stage name as Ray Charles, he was an American pianist and musician who shaped the sound of rhythm and blues. He brought a soulful sound to country music, pop standards, and a rendition of America the Beautiful that Ed Bradley of 60 Minutes called the definitive version of the song, an American anthem. In 1965, Charles was arrested for possession of heroin and drugs to which he had been addicted for nearly 20 years. It was his third arrest for the offense, but he was avoided jail time after kicking the habit in a clinic in Los Angeles. He spent a year on parole in 1966. Ray also appeared in the 1980 hit movie The Blues Brothers, and Frank Sinatra called him the only true genius in the business. In 2004, Rolling Stone magazine ranked Charles number 10 on their list of the 100 greatest artists of all time and also voted him number 2 on their list of the 100 greatest singers of all time. Stevie Wonder, May 30th, 1950. He's still kicking. Born Stevelyn Hardaway Judkins, he later changed his name to Stevelyn Hardaway Morris. Wonder is an American singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and record producer. Blind from infancy, Wonder signed with Motown Records as a pre-adolescent at the age of 12 and continues to perform and record for the label to this day. It is thought that he received excessive oxygen in his incubator, which led to his retinopathy of prematurity, a destructive ocular disorder affecting the retina. It is also characterized by abnormal growth of blood vessels, scarring, and sometimes retinal detachment. A prominent figure in popular music during the later half of the 20th century, Wonder has recorded more than 30 U.S. top 10 hits and won 21 Grammy Awards, the most ever won by a solo artist. Go ahead, Stevie. Well, we've run out of time for this episode of Connect to Success. Stay tuned next month for more information and inspiration. You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. I'm Shadate Hargett Hill. See you next time on the radio.